I just want to focus on soul. And just to introduce a few things, we haven't got that long, so it's going to be quite a practical session, not that I'm expecting you to do anything, but, you know, practical tips and that kind of thing, just how to manage yourself. So we often talk about our spirits and, like, looking after our spirit. We talk about prayer and, you know, being in the presence of God and, you know, worship and all those kind of things, which are all extremely, extremely important. So I'm not saying this to put that side of our beings down, but I just want to focus on actually our soul for a change, because that's also very important. Could we have that first scripture up, please? Last week, Pastor Paul introduced this, and it says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." So we can see here that John wrote this because it's just so important, not only have spiritual health, but your body's healthy and your soul's healthy, because that's what you function out of. If you've got a healthy soul, and by that I mean different aspects of the soul. So we're talking about how you see yourself. We're talking about your emotions, your affections, your thinking, that kind of thing. But if you have a good perspective on the good outlook in life, then it affects how you relate to other people. Your relationships are happier. You're happier. And just life goes better for you if you're in a good place. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. You all agree on that then. And there's also a relationship between how you how your soul is and how your body is. So if you're negative or depressed or anxious about anything, that can actually manifest in the physical. So you get headaches, you can get tension things, you can pull muscles out. And then equally, that makes you grumpy because you've got pain in your body, which then affects how you your outlook. It affects your soul because then you feel irritable or tired and that kind of thing. So they're all kind of connected, really. And it's just really important that, you know, you're a tri-person, you're a spirit, but you've also got a body and a soul as well. Yeah, so we've got to look after all elements of our being. And if we see ourselves, if we're coming from a good perspective, then, you know, we see it's easier for us to see ourselves as God sees us, which is beautiful, valuable, important, magnificent. And then because we see ourselves like that, we can see other people like that in a better way. Yeah, so how can we get to this place? How can we actually look after our soul? Well, I'd just like you to think about the story of Jesus in the storm. And just imagine, just picture a storm with Jesus in it, and in the boat in the storm. And all the disciples were there. Jesus said, "Look, I want to get away. I want to get away with all these people. Let's just go to the other side." Now, he probably knew that the storm was coming because he was Jesus. And the disciples probably could know that the storm was coming because several of them were fishermen, and you tend to pick up on things like that. You know, when there's grey clouds and the water's going like this, there's going to be a storm ahead. So they all went in this boat across the storm. But what did Jesus do in there? He just slept at the stern, that's the back of the boat, on a cushion. So amidst all this chaos, he was just asleep. He was peace. He wasn't worrying. He was carefree, and he just relaxed and he fell asleep. And all the disciples in the end woke him up because they were all terrified that they were going to drown. And then Jesus rebuked the storm and it all calmed down. And then he said to them, "Where's your faith? Why have you got so little faith?" And that's actually not my message about the faith aspect, but it's important. But I don't know if anybody here has been in a storm. If there's anybody been on a boat in a storm? Yeah? It's quite scary. When I was little, well, wasn't that little actually, my parents had a boat. They still got one actually. So we spent a lot of time sailing. And we lived in Cardiff, and we'd sail to France. And the very first time we did that, I was about 12. My dad bought a new boat, and it was a catamaran. It was called an Iroquois. Now, most people think that Iroquois catamarans or catamarans are more stable than what we call a monohull, but it's a myth, okay? Because on a monohull, this is a bit of information here. You've got a weight at the bottom of the keel which weighs the boat down, so you can heel, so you can lean over, but it won't usually topple over. Whereas a catamaran doesn't have that. So you go very, very fast, which is great, but it can also go topsy-turvy. So ours was very, very clever. Well, the designers were. And they put a big float at the top of our mast. So if we did go over, we wouldn't go completely upside down. We'd just go on our side, which, of course, is just what you want on a family holiday, to go away thinking about things like this. So anyway, we set off from Mousel to France. And how you do it, you calculate how many miles it is across the channel. And this, I think it's about 100 from where we were going from to Roscoff, I believe it was. And we think, we're going at 5 knots. That means it's going to take 20 hours, which is a long time to be on a boat. believe me. And it's not a very big boat, it's only about 31 foot, so and there's five of us on there. So anyway, we set out, and during the evening, my dad listened to the weather forecast, because it was quite lumpy. And I remember it was the only time I could remember my father lying, seriously. And we went with another boat, so we weren't completely alone. And Dad said, oh, what was the weather forecast, Alan? What was the weather forecast? And he goes, gale force 8. And my mum goes, what did he say? What did he say? And my dad goes, he said it's getting late. And I'm thinking, no, he didn't. So I know. So my dad and I were the key adventurers in all this, as you can probably tell. So we stayed, and then it was lashing. The storm was absolutely crazy. I mean, the waves were going like this. The boat was going like this and up and down and everything. The waves were crashing over us. The sails were flapping. My mum was panicking. My brother came out saying, we're all going to die, Mum, aren't we? We're all going to die. Seriously. My sister, who was only about 2, I don't know what I don't know where she was. She probably had a pillow over her head inside. And my mum was just kneeling there, praying. Needless to say, we got there in the end quite well, but we were about 6 hours too soon. Because the tide had gone out, and we'd got there so fast, because we were going so fast, because it was so windy, we had to sort of do this reciprocal course until we could finally get in. Anyway, so maybe my mum's prayers helped us there, who knows. But anyway, it's being in that situation, back to my story, you'd have to have a tremendous amount of rest to be able to sleep through that kind of thing. You'd have to really be just relaxed. You'd really have to have faith that you were going to be okay and be able to get over all the discomforts of being in a boat as well. But, you know, that's what Jesus had. So I just sort of like to imagine our lives like that when we go through stuff. Jesus, what Jesus didn't do is have the storm in him. He was in the storm, but it wasn't inside of him. So he had complete peace there. And that's how we should really live our lives. And I just sometimes imagine what it's like, you know. And I do wake up generally quite happy and that kind of thing. But you do get off days sometimes. But, you know, just wake up and think, hey, I've got work today. You know, you skip off to work or to school or whatever it is with a spring in your step. Do you know what I mean? That nothing's going to faze you, that you don't see something as a massive challenge all day and work's a drudgery kind of thing. But you see positive things to every area of your life. And if the challenges come up, you just have that peace and that in a conviction that everything's going to be okay. So that's just how I like to think of that picture of Jesus in the boat. You know, stuff happens. He never said the storms won't come into our life, but he just told us what to do and encouraged us and led by example about how to get through those storms. But what he did do, first thing he actually realised, which is a key point for us, he actually realised he was tired that day. He knew that he was sort of peopled out, and he was probably physically exhausted. He knew the limitations of his human body and the effect that that would have on his ministry, because if he was tired and irritable, he wouldn't be able to give the best to people, and he needed to replenish himself and relax. So first of all, he knew that, and the second thing, which is important, he actually acted on it. So he went away, he slept in the boat, and they got to the other side, and the story continues, but he recognised that he needed this rest, and then he actually acted on it. And so many of us perhaps don't even realise that we need it sometimes, because we tend to go on, we're going to go have another coffee, and you actually just carry through the motions. And first of all, we should actually stop and think, actually, I'm tired here, you know, or this is happening, I'm not dealing with this very well, and actually think, now, take a step back, let's think about this, and then make a plan, and then act on it. And I just think that's really, really important for us, and following Jesus' example there. So, I'm just going to give you a few practical tips which have helped me. Some of them I'm good at, and some of them I'm not so good at, if I'm honest. But things that help me, and things I'd like to actually put into my life to protect myself and to nourish my soul. So if you can have them up, please. Oh, great, one at a time. Well done. Thank you, Sophie, for doing that. I said, feed your mind with the right stuff or the right things. So as Paul wrote in Romans, you know, you can actually renew your mind. You can renew how you think. You can change your patterns in your life. And he wouldn't write it if it wasn't possible. So we know that you can do that. But how do you do that? I mean, I just think it's just good to think about the right things. So, yes, sure, read the Bible. Listen to good preaching. Surround yourselves with positive people who are going to speak into your life in the right way. Have mentors in your life, that kind of thing, to keep you on an even keel when those kind of struggles and things come up. Just fill yourself so you have more of the good things in life and less of the bad things in life, and then your whole outlook will change. So it's quite easy to do that. It's just a habit, really, you have to get into. You have to keep doing it, and then in the end it becomes a completely natural thing for you. Getting the presence of God would also fit in there. So I know I'm not talking about completely spiritual things today, but that's also part of your natural self. If you're in the presence of God, if you're thinking about his love and meditating on him, there's less room for anxiety to come in. There's less room for those little niggles to come in, you know, and depression and those kind of things, because he's the God of love. And in that presence, as Pastor Paul was speaking earlier on and explained to us, when you're in his presence, all those other things are cast out, you know. So get in his presence. And number two, so we've fed our minds, and now you've got to think about those things. So we need to meditate on those good things. In Philippians, it tells you exactly what to meditate on, and I've left my Bible over there. So we've got that at the very end. Can we just flip to the last screen, please? Yeah. Okay, so this is Philippians. I love this part of the Bible. I was going to end with this, and I'll probably go back to it at the end. But at the verse 8, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And it's just such a good way to live. Just focus your mind on the good things in life. Focus on the word and just focus on the good things. And I'd also put you talking the other day at the lady's house about prophecy. If people have prophesied over you, then those are good things to meditate on as well. And it's not only just meditating, but speak them over your life. Speak those kind of good things over your life, and it will build up your soul as well as your spirit. And if you go to number three, please. Sorry, I'm jumping around here. Sorry, Gabrielle. Yeah, there you go. Manage your day. This is like a practical thing. So in the day, when you wake up, pace yourself. Think about what you've got to do. It helps me to write a list. I mean, I don't do it for all things every day, but I certainly do for my work life. And then I can prioritise what I can and cannot do that day. And don't make a really long list, otherwise you feel demoralised because you never get through it all. So write down the key things every day that you need to do. And just pace yourself. Another good thing is not to be late, which I have to work on, I have to admit. I'm getting better, though, because when you're late and you're rushing around, everything goes wrong. Have you ever noticed that? If you're in a rush to get to church or to get to work, you can guarantee that all the lights will be red. Somebody will cut you up. You'll be stuck behind a bin, lorry-type refuse bin, van. You know, something will go wrong and, you know, you just get, then there won't be a car park and all those kind of things will just go wrong for you just because you're late. Of course, that's just life. If you left earlier, it wouldn't be an issue. But if you're leaving it and expecting to be somewhere in 5 minutes and it's really a 10-minute trip, you're off on the back foot. So try to be on time or early if possible. And I've got, practice the art of time management. So if you've got a 10-minute space in your day to fill, or you're on a bus journey or something like that, or you've just got 10 minutes before you go out or you have an appointment, find a 10-minute job to do. Don't try and cram an hour's job into 10 minutes because you're never going to finish it. You're going to leave and it'll probably make you late for the next thing. I know this. I've practiced this and I've not practiced it. So try and find an appropriate job or something to fill that time that's only going to take 10 minutes and then you can tick it off your list. And rather than leaving yourself frustrated. I've got here, if you're in work, take a lunch break. It makes a world of difference not to be sitting in front of the computer. I know this is really just basic and practical, but it can transform your life. Just go out to the park, meet up with a friend, go out for a coffee, just go out to the park and eat your sandwich there rather than stuck over the computer. And I know because I often eat mine watching the computer, looking at the computer. But if I can get out, it really makes a difference, actually. Just that fresh air, just change of scenery. In fact, when I was in France once, it was quite funny. I was on the beach. I like going to the beach in France, especially when it's warm. And then I noticed these girls coming out of like the local pharmacy, and they tend to, well, I don't know if they still do it, but they often close the shops at lunchtime in France. So you can't, you know, supermarkets and everything close. You just cannot get anything because they're quite good at having that rest in their day. And then all these girls in all their pharmacy clothes, you know, the white jacket things, they all sort of tootle down to the beach, put on their swimmers, lay in the sun, had a swim and this kind of stuff, then got dressed again and all went back and opened the chemist. And I just thought, well, that's actually quite a good day's work, isn't it? You know, you know, you do your work, then you have a nice break at lunchtime, and then you do a bit more work, and by then it's time to go home. So, you know, it's fun. Number four, work, exclamation mark. We all have to do it. In fact, the Bible says, and God says, it's good for us to work. But some people don't particularly like it. Now, I quite enjoy my work. I enjoy working in the school. There's always aspects to some things that you don't particularly enjoy. But generally, I quite enjoy working with the children in the school. I work for the music department, and I do all the displays around the school, for those who don't know. So it's quite creative. And I do a lot of admin, but I don't mind it. I like being in that environment when there's children, they're learning. I find it really positive and stimulating. I enjoy working for the church, you know, and doing all the other things as well. And I also do my photography, so I'm really blessed because I actually enjoy my lifestyle of work. I like to be paid a bit more sometimes, you know, and sometimes I'd like to have not so much to do, but generally speaking, I'm quite contented. But some people might not like their work. So if that's you, you don't have to do the same job. I'm not expecting you all just to change jobs now, by the way. But seriously, like, and the lady's just got a new job because the one that she was doing before wasn't quite working for her. So you can do that. You have got power over your own life to choose what you want to do, you know? Where you'll end up in life, as Pastor Paul always says, is where you choose to end up in life. So if you've got a job and you don't particularly like it, look for different options or get to like it. You know, and it's the same with commuting. If you don't enjoy commuting on the train, either find something that you can do to fill that time, reading, or I learnt French when I used to commute into London. I actually did knitting on the train as well. Wouldn't necessarily recommend that. But you can use your time well, or else get a job that's closer to home. You know, you've got choices in all this. So don't get up in the morning and think, oh, I've got work. Because you can choose how you work, where you work, and, you know, basically you can choose all that aspect to your life. So this is good. It's empowering, actually, to think you can choose to change your life. Then the next one is rest, to balance it. Now, this is often the hard thing. I think Pastor Paul and I find this quite tricky because we tend to work. And then we've got to rest. We've got to think about Jesus in that boat and think, actually, we need to rest because rest is just so important. Not only is he physically and mentally, but it just replenishes you. And if you have had a hard day, doing something that's fun can just boost you, you know? So, and I say rest, I don't mean just sitting there not doing anything. I mean, sort of, you can use your time, you know, some people might like gardening, some people might like exercising or going to walk the dog or, you know, that kind of thing. Or you might like art or playing an instrument or just listening to music or reading. There are lots of different ways that will help you, recuperate and replenish you. You know, you might have a nice meal in the evening, you know, or meet up with some friends or go to the gym or something. But do something, try and do something every day that you actually enjoy doing, because that can actually act as a kind of rest and it kind of boosts you and improves your soul health. Yeah. Number six, how are we doing? I'm trying to rush through it because I know it's 12. Six, I've put take up a hobby. Some people might like to do that. Esther Troy here, for example, makes these beautiful glass necklaces and candle holders and soap trays and all sorts of different things. And I know she really enjoys it. And it makes your heart sing. So it's good for everybody to find something that makes your heart sing. Kate plays the violin. You know, I like doing photography and going to the gym and things. But it's really good for everybody to have something in their life that they can look forward to, and that it takes your mind away from all the other kind of things. You know, I quite like cutting vegetables and cooking because my mind just switches off and I just find myself in space. And actually, that's often when I hear from God, is when I'm at the gym or walking or just doing something menial, because I'm not thinking about like work, if you know what I mean. And the God often speaks to me in those things because that's a kind of a rest for me. So I just encourage you to find something that, you know, you really, really enjoy in life, and that kind of balances the things that perhaps you don't enjoy so much. Number seven, I've got put rhythm in your life, or develop a rhythm in your life. There's a lot to be said about this, but if you look over the year, you know, you've got your holidays and, you know, you've got different things with children and work and all different things, or conferences or however your life is. But try and make it a balance. Try and make it so it's not all together, all these things happening at once, but it's sort of paced out. Now, you can do that if you look at the year. You can think, well, I'll have the holiday then because I've got an important month there, or we're going to do this there, or that's happening there. But just try and sort of pace and balance your life, as well as your day, like we talked about earlier, but also your life. Number eight, please. Thanks, Gabriella. I've put establish healthy boundaries. Because sometimes work and play kind of, especially like if you're working from home like we do, you know, you work and then you're half playing, you're half relaxing, and then something happens and you go up to the computer. And sometimes you actually just have to put a boundary there and say no. We actually talked about this with youth, didn't we? Who was here? Actually, I think they're upstairs. Practicing, Ethan remembers, no. Evie remembers as well. Because it's really good to be able to say no. Most influential people say no far more than they say yes to things. And you talk to sort of Virgin guy, what's his name? Richard Branson, sorry. And he'll say no. You have to be on target. And you can, some things you have to say no to in life. And I don't mean necessarily bad things, because often it's the good things that we say yes to, and then we end up just doing too much. So it's not that if you say no, it's because it's something that's going to harm you. It's just that you've got to make space for yourself to replenish yourself and to rest and to relax. And by overcommitting yourself to different things, you're never going to be in that place to live a relaxed life. Yep. And then finally, because it is 12, I think don't worry. Well, we know that. Going back to Philippians, if you don't mind, Gabrielle. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. By the way, and that means keep being full of joy. It's not just once, it's always. So you keep on doing it. And he keeps on saying, rejoice. And he says, be anxious for nothing, or do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So you can see that actually, not worrying and not being anxious is almost like a commandment, you know? And obviously you must have a choice in this, because he wouldn't say, don't be anxious if you couldn't do anything about it, because that just wouldn't make sense, and God is not like that. So he's saying you've got a choice if you worry or not. So then he goes on to say how to deal with that. But I think there's also something called the serenity prayer. I think most of you have probably heard of that. And in that, one of the things it says is, accept the things you can't change, change the things you can, and pray for wisdom to have the difference to know which is which. And it's so true, because some things you can't change. There's no point in worrying about them. It's not going to help you. You can't change it. It is as it is. So you've just got to accept them in a kind of way, or find a way of dealing with those kind of things rather than just rolling over and accepting it. But you've got to change your mind and how you think about those things. But some things you can change. So like your jobs and that kind of stuff, and how you commute to work, you can change. You've got something you can do about that. You know, if you don't want to have, you know, family or friends around all the time, you want a break from things, you can choose how many people you see and that kind of stuff. So you've got a lot of parts of your life you actually can change. And also, cast your cares on the Lord, that means, as well. Just so pray to him, ask him to help you through those things. And if you're coming up to the challenging part in life, and you're in one of those storms, just hang on to God and ask him to show you it from his perspective, and you get that kind of sense of peace over your life. And just, as he says, meditate on the good things. I think I'd like to close there. Thank you. Thank you.